Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. You're at the Introspect Hour. Actually, we're doing this thing for 90 minutes tonight. First, I'm going to kick this thing off with Hypocrisy Now. And the first thing I want to do is I want to welcome everybody to the Introspect Hour, powered by the KKMT Radio Network and Dr. Rock. Real quick, we're just going to let you know what this thing is we do called Hypocrisy Now. First of all, Hypocrisy Now is a little bit of satire, it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, it's a little bit of social and political commentary, and it's guaranteed to entertain, enlighten, inform. And I can almost guarantee it's going to offend somebody. But you know what? That's the risk that we're willing to take. If you're with us usually, you know us. And if you really know us, that's something that you'll hear us say something and you'll say, well, it took them long enough to say it. But if you think you know us, you'll hear us say something and think, I'm so surprised that they said that. But anyway, real quick, while I got you here, let me tell you a little bit about KKMT Radio Network. We have lots of programming options running all through the week. And once again, it's another Dr. Rock prescription we guarantee to fulfill your need for what's real. Also, you can check us out on the website. That's www.brandnew.me. That's BRANDNU.ME. And also, you can come to the site. That's blogtalkradio.com/AKMTradio. And also, you can call in at 718-508-9018. So once again, we're going to do this Hypocrisy Now thing. It's going to be a little bit abridged. That's going to be a little bit shortened today because we got a whole lot of things we need to talk about. We're going to talk about, we definitely need to talk about on the Introspect Hour coming up right after Hypocrisy Now. So we're just going to get this thing started with a song that we think is very much so, as we like to say, apropos. And right on the other side of this, we'll be right back with Hypocrisy Now and Introspect. Hope you enjoy. Thanks.
As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punk can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks, some perpetrate, they drink Clorox, attack the black because I know they lack exact the cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool, never play the fool, just made the rule. Remember, there's a need to get alarm. Again, I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab and get elbow. Word to Herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some denier defiant, I swing polos. Then it clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the wax. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, it must be on the pipe, right?
Depends, it pads, I said, cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, it for static. I see the tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen, I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Another Dr. Rock prescription. We're dialing in, guys. A little faux pas there, technical problem. How about you still there? Let's do this thing like this.
Wait, we got, no, it's not. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, you called me on my day off. Someone that better be dead or in jail. I mean, I don't have all day. Who is this, and what do you want?
Yeah, hey, Damon. It's Thomas, man. Hey, what's up?
Thomas? Oh, hell no. What do you want? Look, you need to hurry it up because I don't have all day. All right, look, man, okay, I'll make this quick for you. Look, I need some advice. Oh, you want some advice? I got some advice for you. Take a shower before you put on your cologne or deodorant. Okay, first of all, will you act like a grown-up for once? Look, I'm trying to come to you as a man here, okay? You don't have to be that way. Well, it's about time you went somewhere as a man. Okay, just shut up. All right, listen. All right, I'm listening. Okay, finally. Look, okay, I met someone, all right? I met a woman. I really like this woman, but I really don't know what the next move should be. Well, you know, that's good news, but wait a minute. You said you met a woman? Yeah. What do you think I was saying? Well, actually, I always thought that you were gay.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all over the KKMT radio office.
Well, everyone thinks I'm gay?
Yep.
But why? Why would they think I'm gay?
First of all, let's talk about a few things as to why they think you were gay. All right, the way that you dress, those watercress sandwich crackers that you eat every day for lunch.
But wait.
See? And then there's that.
There's what?
That high-pitched, woman-like squeal voice you have.
My voice? Look, I'm a very sensitive, emotional man. A lot of guys are.
Yeah, gay guys. No, I'm just kidding, Tom, old boy. Look, I'm just kidding. So you're saying that you're not gay? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. No, I'm not gay. But what about what Aloysius told me about you and Cliff from the accounting department? He told me he saw you two kissing and spooning and kissing.
Aloysius, that... Okay, look, all right. Cliff was choking, and I gave him the Heimlich maneuver and mouth-to-mouth. I saved his life. It was on the news. I got a medal. It was 2 months ago. Where were you?
Oh, well, I must have been on vacation that week. But anyway, tell me about the woman.
Okay, she's 35, tall, dark hair, slender.
Okay, well, before we can go any further, let's get to the most important question.
You mean education level, her parents, any kids, ever married, you know, talking about stuff like that?
No, I mean, how's the butt?
Oh, the butt. Well, you know, it's flat, just how I like it.
Oh, yeah, that not so tall. Someone's going to get that flat, but... Someone's going to get that flat, but... Wait a minute. Hold up, though. But I thought you were holding out for that four-way between you, Ann Coulter, Halle Berry, and Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, man. That Ann Coulter, Michelle Bachmann. I would give my right arm for a piece of that. No, anyway, no. I'm still working on that in due time. But I had to cut Halle Berry out of the equation. You see, I read this article in Psychology Today about how black women are the ugliest and... the least attractive of all the races of women that they study.
Wait, are you sure that this is a reliable and valid scientific study?
Oh, come on, St. Cloud. It's an American mainstream psychological periodical printed by an association that's also a corporation. I mean, it must be true, right?
Don't believe the hype.
Okay, look, anyway, look. The article is, why are black women less physically attractive than other races?
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Look, I heard about that. I mean, that's the study about the blind Japanese guy, right? I mean, he's got to be blind to come up with a result like that.
No, you imbecile. He is not blind.
Well, you could have fooled me. But anyway, so, you know, tell me a little bit about this thing.
Well, basically, the study concluded that among black, white, Asian, and Native American women, that black women they perceived themselves as the most attractive, but actually they're the least attractive. And he says that he proved it. He proved it. I mean, he proved it scientifically.
Don't believe the hype.
Wait a minute. I keep hearing these sounds. Are you at the KKMT studios right now?
Yeah, well, you know, me and Aloysius, we're just, you know, over here getting some work done.
Oh, man, you're such horse's ass. Look here, he is broadcasting this phone call right now. You see, this is why I don't talk to you outside of work. You know what? I'm out of here. I'm just gonna hang up right now.
Damn it, that guy is such a jerk.
You know, I heard that, you punk ass. Okay, I'm out of here for real this time.
I'm sick. I've had it over with this guy. How is he going to think I'm gay? I mean, damn that Aloysius. How in the hell do I dress gay? This is what I get for letting that salesman talk me into buying these suits. All the rage in front of my ass.
Don't believe the hype.
All right, folks, like I said, we're going to do this thing real abridged. I mean, you know, we just, you know, just playing around a little bit there, but we do have some more serious issues to discuss. First of all, this study. We're not going to spend all day talking about this thing. We just want to talk about it just for a little bit because it's really important. All right. So first of all, the guy, he's a Japanese guy. I think his name is Satoshi Kanazawa, something like that. So he's English-based. He's Japanese. He's an evolutionary psychologist. All right. And so on his blog, he calls himself the scientific fundamentalist, if you can believe that. All right. So, and this is not the first time he's been involved in some controversy. I'm going to read something that he wrote after 9/11. This is what he said. He said, commenting more on terror, he said, there is one resource that our enemies have in abundance that we don't have, hate. We may be losing this war because our enemies have a full range of human emotions while we don't. And he also said, imagine that on September 11, 2001, when the Twin Towers came down, the president of the United States wasn't George Bush, but Ann Coulter. What would have happened then? He said on September the 12th, Coulter would have ordered the military forces to drop 35 nuclear bombs throughout the Middle East, killing all of the actual potential enemy combatants, all their wives and all their children. So on September 13th, he says, the war would have been over and not a single American life would have been lost. So I know that has nothing to do with the topic, but that's just give you some insight as to how this guy thinks. And so also, he got in trouble. Well, not in trouble, but he created some controversy a few months ago, and he wrote an article. It was called "Are All Women Essentially Prostitutes?" So, like I said, that just gives you an idea of how this guy thinks. And he also published an article in 2006. He said that poor people, particularly in Africa, he says that their poor health is not the result of poverty, but it's the result of lower intelligence. And now, if anybody's up on their history historically, you would be able to tell us, you know. Not a lot of thinking at all, that historically speaking, that's just simply not true, speaking of Africans and people of African descent. But let's get to this article that he published real quick. So he basically was saying that that women of African descent, black women, they were the least attractive women of all the races. Now, here's a surprise, surprise. Whom did he think were the most attractive women? This guy is Japanese, so of course he dubbed the Asian woman as the most attractive. Now, personally, I don't really have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with him saying that in this regard. I don't agree with it at all, but what he did as a Japanese psychologist, he's doing what most people do. He wants to uplift his own kind, and I have no problem with that, but the problem that I have with how he did it, I have two problems with it. The first problem is he didn't title his article that Asian women are the most attractive. He titled his article something to the effect that he asked, why are black women the least attractive, or why are black women less attractive than the other races? See, he didn't put forth the article as a way to uplift his own. He put forth the article as a way to further tear down our kind and tear down our women. See, that's the biggest problem I have with how he did it. That's the first problem. The second problem that I have with it is every other race of people, every other ethnicity, when they uplift their own kind, it's okay. Even in Houston, we have places called, you have the Chinatowns, and you have neighborhoods where they're predominantly Spanish-speaking people. You have certain sections in your cities that cater to particular groups, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we do it, we try to uplift our own kind. We're often vilified, we're often demonized. You try to uplift black political causes, you're called militant, you're called anti-American, you're called communist, you're called all these other kind of things. And especially with beauty, I mean, black women have always had to suffer through that kind of degradation based upon how their bodies look. I mean, we don't have to go far past this in the 1920s, the Hottentot Venus situation. You know, dissected the woman down to her sexual parts, and even some of those parts are still on display in French museums. So the basic point that I'm trying to make is that this is something that we need to, this article is just a small, small shred of this. And this is something that we really have to engage in, and we really have to get involved in this, because our image is constantly being torn down every day by people of other ethnicities, but most unfortunately, sometimes even by our own ethnicity. But that's just a little tidbit that I wanted to say. Like I said, we have a lot of information to cover in Introspect, and I'm sure the good doctor is going to be able to get into that real good. And with our callers, we're going to get into that real, real good. And I use real, real good. Well, you're just going to have to see. You're going to have to listen in for yourself. Before we turn it over to Introspect and Dr. Rock, I just got one last selection for you. It's a song. I want y'all to really, really listen to this song from start to finish. In any case, we always urge you here at Hypocrisy Now and Introspect that you need to keep your ears clear, keep your eyes peeled, and always make up your own damn mind, because we are definitely living in hypocrisy right now. Peace.
You got that good hair, too.
You like what?
I like girls with that light complexion look.
Oh, you're a moron.
I can't help it.
What, being a moron?
Yeah, that too.
You're the first one out there with a dashiki talking that crap.
I'm a victim.
Good hair. Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.
I like the way you walk. 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 I like the way you walk.
right. You're at Introspect with the Dr. Rock. That was Hypocrisy Now. And that's how we do it at Hypocrisy, because you're living in hypocrisy right now, guys. We just wanted you to know that. But we got a very provocative topic. We're not going to play any more music right now. We got a bank of callers that are waiting to get in on this one. And it's not the doctor. The doctor didn't come up with this one. It's called Are Black Women Uglier? No, he didn't. I'm telling you guys, and scientifically, you know, empirical data here we're talking about. We're going to be using that word a lot, empirical data, but you're at Introspect. Come and take the journey with the Dr. Rock. And what we want you to do now, the number is call in number 718-508-9018. If you want to make a question, ask a question or make a comment, hit the number one on your phone and we'll bring you right in. We'll go ahead and kick this thing off. And I think my co-host illustriously told us that this guy's name is, he's a Japanese guy. His name is Satoshi Kanazawa. Now he was he's studied in the in London, but he also did his PhD in at University of Arizona here in the States. How did he come up with this one, guys? I don't know. Let's be careful about the background noise. We got all the lines open. We got about 10 callers on the line. We're gonna try to keep it open again, guys. We want you to chime in on this one. This is how we describe this on the show here. So well, Shanae done done it now. and the tirade has begun. Are black women uglier, louder, nastier than other women? The science has confirmed the obvious. But is this science tainted? That's the question, guys. Has the bell curve resounded a crescendo of provocative postulation against who? Black women. And we're talking about the Love Hurts Super Bowl commercial. You know, come on, guys. Are black women uglier? I mean, let's be real about this thing. Let's talk about it. Lines are open. Chime in anytime you want. Let's go. I think we got my boy from Philadelphia, 201-759. You on the line? 201-759. You on the line? Okay, the doctor's going to have to control these airwaves. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, hit the number one, please, so I can bring you in. Otherwise, you know, because we got a lot of background noise in there, we're going to try to control the background noise so that everybody doesn't have to be bothered with it. Okay? So, are black women, I mean, this is a big pill situation, guys. I mean, are black women uglier than white women, Hispanic women, Oriental women? I mean, let's talk about it. We got 404-839. You want to chime in?
I do want to chime in. How you doing?
I'm still alive.
I've got a comment first, a little bit. You know something, we as black women, we have been kind of brainwashed throughout the years to perceive ourselves, our beautiful, tightly curled hair and, you know, our big booties and our shapely breasts and our bodies as something that's bad or something that's nasty. And we've been brainwashed. A lot of black women do see themselves as ugly. They do. And it's pathetic to me. That, oh, my hips are too big or my butt's too big or, you know, this and they always have problems. And, you know, they have people like, you have, like, what's the aftermath? Alex, the African one, she's bald and she has beautiful black skin. And, you know, she's one of the most pretty people in the world as far as Cook Magazine and Molly's are concerned. So why, as we as the mother of all nations, everybody descended from Africa or African-American descent, African descent. So how can we be ugly and everybody else not be ugly? It doesn't make sense to me.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you think he contrived this data from? What do you actually think
his fellow PhD, a bunch of probably Caucasians and Japanese people.
Touche.
In other words, you know something? I have a comment about you in that butt thing. I'm a black woman, and I don't have the biggest butt, but I like my flat bone. So don't hang on the side of the girls. So we work on something else.
Okay, they got to be good at something, huh?
It must be the same thing.
Somebody
got to
come with a fat booty. Somebody got to take it. Come on now. But check this out. She might have some other qualities, huh? She's a good cook.
Yeah.
There you go. What I'm saying is that if you basically base your data on a European construct, then I guess you'll probably get that empirical data. You'll get the information that you're looking for. You see?
Exactly.
Like you just stated.
Black people are Wesley Snipes, who only attracted, because they said that he was a lot of black, in the early 90s, a lot of black women denied him. They're like, oh, you're too dark. Or you're too this, you're too that. So now he's only attracting Asian women or white women. He has said that loudly. He said that proudly. Like, look, when I was attracted to black women, they always downed me, and they were like, oh, I'm too dark, or I'm too this. I was never good enough for this. But now that I'm only dating white and Asian women, I've been turning against my race. But why are some of my race turned against me?
It's well, first of all, the article surfaced on the Internet. It surfaced on the Internet from a publication called Psychology Today. That's who surfaced the article. And I think within less than a week, it was pulled off. They pulled it down right quick because they were getting the whiplash of some angry black women. Again, guys, what we're trying to do, this is not, again, this is not a Dr. Rock prescription. Dr. Rock is not saying this. We're merely talking about this Dr. Satoshi guy and his empirical data, as he calls it. Now, the proof of the matter is that empirical data is supposed to be irrefutable. However, he tainted this whole study by stating as an Oriental man that Oriental women are the most beautiful. That's what we call culturally biased, which is the same thing black women go through every day in America dealing with a Eurocentric standard of beauty. If you look at my site, go to www.theprofileblogtalkradio.com/KKMT radio. You'll see five slide pictures, and we'll have a picture of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed lady there. That is the European construct, and pretty much where he constructed his theses or hypothesis or ideology, for that matter. The Dr. Rock said it, ideology. Black women are beautiful, and you know this, coming from the doctor. Again, guys, you're on the KKMT Radio Network with the Dr. Rock and Professor K. If you want to ask a question or if you want to make a comment, please hit the number one. We got a bank of calls. We want you guys to chime in. Hit that number one, and we'll bring you right in so that you can get it off your chest, and we can talk about this thing. Now, I want to get back to this right quick. Are black women louder? Are black women nastier? Are black women, anti-male? Are they, come on, guys. I mean, all black women aren't perfect, just like all white women aren't perfect. Let's talk about some of these things. Let's see if we can get these things out. I need somebody to chime in. Let's see if we can get 860-777 on the line. 860-777. Okay.
I think they're just listening. One thing I want to say. Oh, somebody coming in?
No, go ahead.
Okay, one thing I do want to say is you said, are black women louder? See, mm-hmm. I don't even think it's a matter of are black women louder. See, it's a matter of because everybody gets loud. Everyone gets excited. It's just a matter of the reason you're getting loud. So it's not even a matter of loud because we're just talking in terms of, if someone's at a restaurant, if someone gets excited, can you hear them? I mean, how is the image of that respond to whatever made them get loud, whatever made them get excited? What is the perception of that? And then you say, oh man, that's another loud, ghetto black woman. But it's not even a matter of that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a cultural thing. I agree with you. Sometimes it's just, if you ever been into a public office or DMV or something like that and a foreigner came in with a cell phone, they buck wild like they're out in the fields, like they herding goats and shit, So, it's a cultural thing. But I'm trying to get my boy from 201, my brother from Philly. 201, you still there?
Let me turn them off.
Yeah, see if we can chime in on 201 there. 201-759, he's from Philly. I'm sure he has something to say. Until then, we'll bring in 404-909. Are black women louder? Are black women uglier? Are black women nastier than other women?
Absolutely not. You know that. No, we're not loud. I think it's like your host. No, I'm sorry, your
co-host
gentleman said before me. Yes, before you a few minutes ago. It's all depends on the situation and what's happened. What would make her voice carry? Why would she get loud? There's a reason for that. We're not just purposely being loud for no reason at all. And no, we're not nasty. We're very clean people. We watch what we eat. I mean, we are. I would think we are the cleanest people to when it comes to restaurants, when it comes to washing your hands. We will call you out when it comes to restaurants and if you're washing your hands. They're washing their hands, if they're picking their nose, we're constantly talking about that. I hear people talking about it all the time. I'm going to wash their hands, and we're very careful. We want to wash our hands as because growing up and be clean. We had to be clean.
Okay. Let me throw this one in. Because in the title, I also included the term Love Hurts. That is the title of the Super Bowl commercial aired this year, 2011, the Super Bowl. I think it was a Pepsi commercial where the lady, if you guys watch the commercial, please watch it. You know, everything this man is doing, the black lady seems to be with the fact that he's doing it. And at the end, they're sitting on a park bench drinking a Pepsi, and she throws a can at him. And it misses him, and it hits a white lady in the head. And Lord have mercy, the internet lines were banging. They were ringing, and they were hot, because sisters were hot about that. You know what, guys? Also, when you go to blogtalkradio.com/KKMT radio, at the very bottom, it says show extras. There's a couple of videos down there. I'd love you guys to take a look at them, take a listen in. We're just trying to enlighten and inform. We just want to talk about it. When you chime into the Dr. Rock Show, believe me, we just want to, you know, see if we can get these things out on airwaves and get them worked out. Again, now, sisters can be heard. Okay, what happened there? We got 832-6. Is that 656? 832-656. Are black women louder, uglier, nastier?
Am I on?
You don't think so?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hold up. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you. Go ahead.
I don't think we louder. I mean, there are some times where we can get loud, but we know the time and the place. I think just like the caller before. And don't get it twisted. I do not think black women are ugly. I think that we are one of the most beautiful races on the planet. They got a lot of ugly white people on the street. Don't get it twisted. I've seen lots of fat, ugly white chicks, black booties. Mexicans, all of them. I'm going to keep it real because people want to be polite about the race. They want to talk, that little Chinese man want to talk about black women. He can kiss my ass because he's probably ugly. You can't even bear to pronounce his name. I don't even know who he is talking about us like that. And we are beautiful.
Hey, old. I think we got your point. And I agree with you, though. But let me ask you this on an intellectual level, for real, because I'm in agreement with you. But I want to know from you as a black woman, why do you think they would say these type of things?
I just think that it's always been, you know, if you're not black, you feel inferior. I just think it's always been like that, you know, because I think that if you're not black, you're just above, and it just makes it easier for you to get ahead. I just always thought, like, for instance, a lot of times people ask me my race. I'm not dark, but I'm very fair skinned. But, and I wear weave. But one day I took my weave out and wore my fro. When I tell you, people looked at me like I was so ugly.
Okay. In other words, not plain in.
Right. Like, people just have this interpretation of black people that, like, you know, we, no matter how we wear our hair, you know, that we can be barbaric. You know, they call us baboons, monkeys, whatever they want to think. But it's just like, I don't think we're loud. I don't think we're dirty. I see white people pick their nose all the time and dig in their butt in the grocery store. You know, I just don't understand. I mean.
Okay. No, we're going to hold a second. Hold that thought. We're going to come right back to you. 832-537. You want to chime in, comment? 832-537. You got a question or a comment? Are black women uglier?
Can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, what's up? Okay, what's
how
up?
You doing today?
I'm pretty good. Settled. I was listening to what you're saying, and I think that as far as, like, well, I don't know if it's still on the beauty thing, but that's a matter of personal preference. That's, like, something you can't judge by the science. So, like, I think we should leave that part alone. But as far as, like, being dirty. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're saying basically there's no scientific method to actually come up with those conclusions.
No, because what I say is beauty, he may think it's ugly. What he thinks is beauty, I may think it's ugly. You can't judge from that. That's, like, really childish. It's definitely a cultural thing here. You know, it's definitely that.
Just hit it. It's called culturally biased, and it's called being ethnocentric. Right. Continue. Go ahead.
And as far as, like, I mean, I think one of the, your other callers was saying about being inferior, and that's the truth. I mean, we are the first people on this earth, and no matter how much, you know, the other races, they want to be above or before, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. So they spend all this time trying to break us down. That's only what, that's what this is right now, too. I mean, I wear my hair natural for a reason, not just only because it's, well, it keeps me from going to the beauty shop and, you know, saving me money, but it's also to show these little girls that you don't need to have chemicals in your hair. Matter of fact, if you take most of them out and not chase that whole, you know, white Caucasian ideal of what beauty is, then your hair would grow. It's because if you're running, it's trying to...
I've got to give you your props on that, for real.
Okay.
Natural
that's
is cool,
is.
Man.
See,
you,
if we
do
were,
you.
If we were so dirty, if we were dirty and we were, you know, not clean or whatever, we used to take care of the master's kids when we were,
uh-oh,
you know, we took care of 2 months old, okay? So if we were so dirty, we cooked your food, we kept your kids, and I believe we even breastfed some of those kids. So we weren't dirty then, you know, our DNA wasn't dirty, evidently, you know, because we were in charge of your kids more than the white woman was, and that's just the truth, whether they want to, you know, believe that or
for
not.
For real, though.
Okay?
So, I mean, that's
just, okay, and go ahead. And then on top of that, we are loud. I mean, I'm not excusing when it's not called for, like a bunch of sass. You can't confuse sass with strength, okay, because the women from back in the day had strength. They had to hold it down for 2 households, really, or depending on however many it was, they had to hold it down. I mean, we had to do the Underground Railroad thing. We had to speak our men in or whatever. Even in the 70s, we had to make excuses for, you know, so that the men wouldn't get caught in the house with us. Okay, even better than then, when the KKK came, we had to come to the front door. We are very strong women, and they just can't accept that fact. Now,
straight up.
So
and
bad.
By the way, guys, I want you guys to know, I don't mean slang names, but this is a famous rapper right here out of Houston, a straight-up MC, Iron Petals, and we're going to be doing a show with her this Friday, so chime in to Computer Love, because Iron Petals going to be spitting fire. I guarantee it. Straight up. Hey, I'm glad you came in, baby. Hang on there. I'm going to get somebody else in right quick, okay? 832-967. Are black women uglier? 832-967. Are black women uglier? You got the mic. There you go. You got the mic. Go ahead.
No, not at all. They're not ugly whatsoever. In fact, maybe.
You got a lot of sound noise in there, dude. You got a lot of wind blowing. Let's try one more.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Well, because I'm mobile. I'm mobile, Blair. I'm mobile. But
that's cool. That's cool.
Maybe what they're referring to, my ugly, is in terms of the way they act or maybe the way they respond to each other when they try to communicate with them, you know, things of that nature. Maybe it's based on an attitude-wise, not appearance, not comparing to any, like, European standard or anything like that. But more so how I guess we interact or fail to interact with each other on a daily basis. Because,
right,
you know, it gets to the point, I talk with a lot of brothers, and they express to me, like, you know, it gets to the point where when they see a sister behind the counter and they walk into a place of business, you know, it's more of a thing of, you know, you bow to head, oh, Lord, am I going to have problems out of her today? You know, what kind of day she done had? You know, what is the sister going through? I mean, am I going to have to, you know, deal with that? So it's more so, I think, along the lines of that, because I see more and more brothers sticking with the sister, so I don't, you know, I don't see the look issue being an issue at all.
Yeah, on a real tip, I appreciate you, brother. Hang in there. I don't want you to go anywhere. I'm gonna come back to you. I got another caller, but I want to say this on a real tip. Dr. Rock's gonna drop some knowledge on you. There's a tribe in Africa called the Fulani, and the Fulani have been known worldwide as being some of the most beautiful women in the world. Fulani, check it out. 404-839. You want to chime in?
I do. I have something to say.
Come on with it.
Okay.
Are black women uglier?
For the long, and I don't mean, I'm going
louder.
What? Said, for the longest time, we as black women, we couldn't even hold our black people. Women, we couldn't even, we were a victim of rape. We couldn't even look another race in the eye. We had to hold our heads down or else we'd be murdered, killed, or beaten. We couldn't say nothing. We had to be quiet, walk on eggshells, walk on our tippy toes. So right now, if we got a little bit of sass, just excuse that for, that's confidence. You don't excuse confidence for attitude. So if we shake our head a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So for the long as we were a victim of so many things, right now if we want, you know, come back and, like, we loud, we proud,
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm loud, and everybody tells you, you're so loud, but, you know, should I like it or not, I don't care. I don't, because I know I have an 8-year-old son. He's right here. All ages of school. I know people. I don't like everybody like me, point blank.
Okay.
I don't want everybody like me. I don't
That's
care if anybody likes me or not.
Yeah, because you love you, right?
I love me.
But let me ask you this right quick. I want to ask you a serious question. Do you think if you tone down the volume, do you still think that you would be heard or you wouldn't be heard?
I would be heard because my personality speaks out of itself. Just like
okay.
I heard the other caller said when she wore her fro, I wore my fro for years.
Okay.
You know, and I'm young. Excuse me. I'm
we got some
people think that I was crazy. Everything speaks to my personality, my actions, what I do. I might, you know, even if I'm quiet, have bronchitis, I mean, you know, the things that I do. And the way that I act and, you know, people I surround myself with, that affects my personality because I'm so different from my mother and my sister. And we all have our own individual personalities. But, we're all, you know, it's just still, it's nothing but pride. It's not bad pride. It's good pride. Saying, you know.
Self-pride.
Self-pride. Yeah. It's pride for yourself and pride for your race and being proud of who you are no matter what you think. Because somebody's trash is somebody else's treasure.
Yeah, it's not that I hate you so much. I just love myself.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Excuse me, I don't care if you like my compliments or not. I don't know. It's, you know, say that, you know me, everybody told me a rebel. I like to take the scenic route in life, you know?
Okay.
And if you're a rebel, show up. I like, you know, I'm that person. I can't learn from somebody else. I got to go through because I'm emotional also. I'm like a hard-boiled egg. Hard on the outside, soft on the inside, you know? Kind of like.
Okay. That's cool. And you know what? I think a lot of times when people are verbose and somewhat boisterous, I think it's probably because they're not being heard. And that's probably what they feel like they have to do to get heard. So, you know, we're going to work with that. And like I tell the brothers, I like a little latitude in my bed. You know, I want my woman to say, you better not stop. You know, she better, you know, come on with that. You know, in other words, a little life.
Okay.
I want her to be alive, you know, call my name. Call me somebody else's name. You know, slap me on my butt.
But as long as you don't down people in public, like, you don't know them, like, talking bad to their man in public. I don't like that now.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know, women who are, like, all that in public, you know, leave that.
I was
going to
ask you
leave
that.
At the house.
This is why that guy said what he said. He said, basically, black women are uglier because of the testosterone levels. Testosterone, of course, is a male hormone, and it would make a female look more masculine. That was one of his ideologies or ideologies, should I say. And, I mean, you know, again.
Well, the black men are in a profession. They're still, they're smart. It's studies shown that, you know, Asian is very smart, but they're still, the women are still in, stuck in probably like, you know, the dynasty area. The ancient
right.
Chinese, they're still accustomed to all that down talk and stuff. We just grew above that.
Well, let me ask you guys. You guys familiar with the bell curve? A book published maybe about 20 years ago called The Bell Curve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was stating basically that blacks are psychologically and mentally inferior, intellectually inferior. So you're right. This stuff is going to always come. The Dr. Rock is going to go ahead and chime in on this. First of all, his study is culturally biased. Empirical data, impossible. Lastly, I want you guys to look this one up. It's called Ethnocentric. This guy is being ethnocentric like Europeans do. If you judge me by your standards, if you give me a test about, you know, peppergrass and tea time, I'm probably going to fail that because we ain't having tea time over in the motherland, okay? But if you give me a tell and ask me a test and you ask me about Mansi Musa, you know, sacred geometry, Pianchi, Imhotep, Kushites, then I'm going to blow you away because I know from whence I came. Oh, look here, guys. We got another call here. It's 832. Oh, that's 967 again. Look like he got something else to say. Let me see if we got some win. 832, 967. You want to come back?
Oh, yeah, actually, my brother, I was in queue and I got lost in the sauce a little bit, and I had to call back and get back in queue. But go ahead and see with your thought, because I don't want to break that.
Yeah, because it's straight up about that haters. We're talking about hateration. But we got to remember, guys, to make them haters your motivators, because you know
right.
What you look like. I'm gonna shout out to, again, we're going to have Iron Petals. That is Iron Petals, Ultra Dichotomy. I mean, those are two opposites, but she's hard and she's soft. And exotic-looking sisters. Black women are exotic. I don't know where this dude coming from. He want people to have pie face and look pasty face. That ain't what we do. And you're right. That booty is working for me. It's working for the doctor. I'm just going to let you know. So, sisters, y'all keep doing it like y'all doing it because the doctor got your back, and we're going to hold it down together. Again, most people do not understand the – I mean, we could do a whole show on the gluteus maximus muscle. It ain't just for the aesthetics. It ain't just for ambiance. It's a part of that whole athletic thing. It's a part of being created by a perfect God, creating a perfect man and putting him in a perfect land. And it might be deeper than those Anglos can handle it. So we're just going to keep rolling with this. I want to ask my guest here, Professor K.
Yeah.
I got a good one for you. Now, I'm not trying to ride this dead horse, but I want to ask my sisters out there, do you guys have to be forceful? Do you have to be loud? Do you have to be boisterous? Can you get my attention with a soft touch? Professor K, I know you've been dating. You've been going through some things. We all have. I've been up and down in relationships.
I have?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you haven't been dating, okay. Maybe you need
to. I have.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is that, oh, wait, before you get that, I'm going to get one more nappy head in here. We got 954-744, because the nappy heads will blow up your waiting today. I'm just going to let you know. They're going to come out, and they're going to speak on this because it's a total farce. 954-744, I know you locked up, straight up, knowledgeable, master degree down, and you got a soft touch. Are black women uglier, louder, nastier?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And we're going to take your word for that. Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, I have a problem with anything being absolute, you know, and I also have a problem with the way these kind of studies are done. You can prove anything that you want to prove, basically, and how that stuff is done. So I don't give any credit to it at all.
Yeah, if you pull in the right data, you're going to get the results you want.
Right.
That's what you're saying. And so it's not empirical. It's not absolute. Again, absolutes are mathematical improbabilities because there's at least one exception to the rule. There's no such thing as an absolute, guys. That's why I wanted to bring 954. Y'all heard that little squeaky voice. Master degree, locked up. You know, I mean, sisters all over the world are beautiful in all shades and colors. Well, they're like like Mother Nature, you know, from the whitest of the white to the blackest of the black. And it's all sweet. It's all good. The key is that why are we being portrayed? Now, let's say this. There are some sisters out there that are out of control. They're overbearing. You know, they don't know when to stop. They're emasculating. Not only their men, their own sons. What can we do to help those sisters? We live in a pandriatic society. We live in a society where it's all right to. And, in fact, I'm going to hit you with this one, guys. This guy said, in conclusion, he said at the end of his study, black men are more attractive than other races.
Yeah.
Is that a flip or what?
I think that may be a little counteraction.
Yeah. This guy was all over the place. Again, he tainted the study by saying that Asian women, of course, were the most beautiful, which was obviously biased, culturally biased right there. But then at the end he says, oh, ladies, by the way, black men are more attractive than white men, Hispanic, and Oriental men. Something's wrong with that picture. Are you guys in agreement with that? Come on now, don't be scared. Uh-oh, wait up. No, don't nobody say nothing because we got the monster in the house. 713-301. Are black women uglier, louder, nastier?
Not that I know of.
Okay. You down
they
with a sister?
Some of them are I would say they are stronger. A lot of quick-tempered, you know, looking at my mother and sisters, they are very beautiful. And
but you know what? You know what,
not
Mom?
That loud, but they
but
are.
You know what? I psychoanalyze that myself. After 400 years of the shit we've been through, I mean, you're not going to come out of that with some kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come out of the conditioning that we've been through for 400 years without some kind of attitude. Come on. You know, you're going to have to stand up. It's like that last piece of chicken. My mama used to say, a closed mouth don't get fed. You didn't ask for it, that's why you didn't get it.
Yep.
You
got
to stand up for what you want. And if you don't stand up, you will not get it. But again, we're back to being culturally biased. these tests being culturally biased. That word, guys, look it up, ethnocentricity. Europeans have a sense of taking their culture and enforcing it, and forcing it down other people's throats all over the world. You see it happening in India, Pakistan, in the Orient. I mean, you see it happening every day. Those countries are becoming more westernized. But, I mean, this guy is a legitimate doctor, PhD'd, out of the University of Arizona, studied in Belgium, teaching in London. He's credentialed up. So do you think that his study is, I mean, Dr. Satoshi, do you guys think that his study is valid? And if it is, then what can we do about it? If black women are angrier, I mean, as far as being ugly, we're just going to cut that one out. We know better. There's nothing more beautiful on this planet than a black woman. You know,
everybody welcome.
Yeah, I mean, those exotic eyes, the full lips. You know, come on, those hips.
You know, but you know one thing that's really really popular that people say these days, I'm pretty sure you've heard it. People have asked me this. I know I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself. I'm probably saying something that should be saved for Friday night, but on computer love. But people ask me, have I dated outside my race? I say no. And they say, we have a date white girls. I said, no, you have a date Mexicans. No, what you got against Mexicans and whites? I said, I don't have anything against them. I just have something for my own. And they say, well, if you don't date outside your race, you're limiting yourself. But that's offensive to me.
Yeah,
you say you're limiting yourself. You have to look at it like this. Every inhabitable continent on this planet is full of women of African descent, each and every one of them. So they're thinking, once again, they're thinking of that westernized, Americanized way of thinking that,
right,
we're the minority. We can't always look at ourselves as a minority. We have to look at ourselves as part of the worldwide majority, the originators of this thing that we call civilization.
And Bob better be careful because, again, guys, Dr. Rock's going to drop that knowledge. It's called the ISIS Papers by Dr. Francis Kress Welsing out of D.C., and it's called Genetic Annihilation. Yeah, the black man is dominant genetically, and every time he gets with an au-fait lady, you know, and they have 9 babies, 8 of those babies are going to be recognizably black. Therefore, we, lessen the opportunity for her to have Anglo babies. Genetic Annihilation, ISIS Papers, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, check it out. So, I mean, that's scientific. Genetics are scientific. What this guy is talking about, again, it's culturally biased. I want to get back to 832-537. I mean, because Petals, you know, I know where you're coming from, but I like to do this. I like to tell sisters, I know that there's a little bit of everything out there. Let me say this. If that sister is nasty, if she is a little bit boisterous, again, I want to psychoanalyze that. Why is Shanae-Nae? Why does that happen? And I'm not saying it's, you know, specifically only occurs in the African American cultural diaspora. It happens across the board. But, you know, is there an excuse that why we have this attitude and it's being portrayed all over the national TV? You know, and we're going to not this Friday, we're going to be dealing with Iron Petals, but next Friday we're going to be dealing with those sisters who are corporate sisters and feel like they're on a pedestal and they can't find a good man.
No.
You know, we're going to be dealing with that because that's a whole nother level right there. But Petals,
yeah,
I want to ask you this. Do you actually, if sisters are like that, why do you feel like a sister is like that? Does she have a reason? And if she does, is there any help? Is there any escape? Because I know one thing, that if you carry a lot of anger around, anger only destroys the angered. It doesn't even hurt the people that you're angry at because they don't even know and they don't even care. But you're eating yourself alive. What can we do to help them? What can we do to help them?
And
go ahead,
what you said right here, that's the problem, is that they are angry, but they're angry at the wrong people. Like, I mean, because we are, just like right now, I mean, it's 2011, and we're still the low man on the totem pole, okay? Like, they still won't accept our beauty for what it is, even though they spend countless millions trying to get, you know, what we have naturally. I mean, to this day, you know what I'm saying? Even when they're wearing weeds, they're doing whatever, but the thing is, we've always been made to feel like we are nothing, you know what I'm saying? Broke down to
you know, to the mere nothings, basically. So we are angry, but it's misplaced. You know, the men are gone. So, you know, since we're the ones that don't have the money, you know, what is it, 80-something% of black women are not married?
Right. Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's from their hands and then partially the men too. I mean, the men are not all great either or whatever, but I've seen it for my own self where the men were trying to work with the women, okay, and they still have, you know, attitudes like, you better do whatever, you better have the money, have everything, whatever, even though you know it's hard. You know, it's harder for it's harder for men right now in the workplace, period, but a black man, come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're lucky to have whatever they can possibly get. And for you to, see, they're chasing after the wrong dream, and that's what they're getting angry about, okay? They want what the white women wanted in the 70s, okay? That whole thing was for them. They were telling the white men they want the same thing, they wanted. Black men and black women were together at that time, okay? And black men were not against black women. They're still not against black women to this day, but that's part. I mean, a lot of black women, I talk to them, they really do have anger for the black men, and for what? They're in the same boat you are or less.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Thank you. And that's the real deal. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody's been angry except the black man. They had the angry white man syndrome, you know.
Yeah.
What are you mad about?
Yeah. And how come in the 90s, the angry black man syndrome, they actually tried to use that as a form of, like, not defense, but, you know, a reason to put a man behind bars because they had an angry black man syndrome. If I was a black man, are you joking? I mean, I could be an angry black woman just off of the, you know, what we had to deal with, you know, or whatever. But, I'm resilient. I can still, you know, do what I need to do or whatever. They don't intimidate me. But
I got a whole bunch of reasons to be angry. Unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. We can't be angry.
But it's
why
not productive.
Why does that have to be a law? Why does that have to be a huge thing?
But it's not productive. I got to be calm.
No.
I got to be collected and composed for me to make sure that I can, you know, manifest my mission. I got to be focused. So I can't get caught up in that madness. Let me get back to the monks. 713-3301. Now, again, guys, we got callers. I want you guys to know we got a bank of callers. I appreciate you coming into Introspect. Well, I'm glad you came and take the journey. And this is the KKMT Radio Network with the Dr. Rock and Professor K. 404-454. We'll be right back at you. 713-301. Come on in, monster.
It's anger is good. You know, if you get mad, it's just how you direct your anger.
Touche.
You know,
I like
that. Mad as to being misused, and then I'm going to do something to overcome those obstacles that you're throwing at me, those stereotypes. If I'm upset, then I can deal with it. I just don't lose control or control anger. You know, the average person out there in any sports, I'm not loving this fellow that I'm coming up against. If you're trying to take my spot on this plate, or like you were saying about the chicken, or on this team, I'm upset. You know, it's a team sport, but I don't want to lose my spot. So I'm coming at you with a vengeance, but it's controlled. And like you said, I'm focused and I know what I need to do in order to do it. I don't go berserk and go out here and go postal or blow up anybody.
Want to come back at you guys. Remember the Harlem Renaissance? Your boy James Baldwin? He said the black man is living in a state of controlled rage. That's an oxymoron, guys. Yeah, controlled rage. And I guess today, sisters, you guys with these kind of studies, I guess pretty much that's what you guys have to endure also. Because, I mean, for real, I mean, this is the dichotomy. How can they say that sisters are ugly when everybody's trying to be down with what we do? Hip-hop has transformed the world. That culture. You go to the Orient, and them little cats got their hats on backwards. They trying to sag and be down.
Botox.
And Botox in their lips. What did your girl get, the booty implants or whatever you call it, cheek implants? Come on. Yeah, everybody wants to beat us down, but they want to be like us. There's something wrong with that picture. 806-853 wants to chime in. We're going to bring her in here. 806-853, are black women uglier?
No, they're not. I beg to differ. But I was wanting to say, you were hitting everything I was going to come in to say. You know, but if we're so much uglier, why is everybody trying to get braids? Why is everybody trying to get a tan? Why are they having breast implants? And why are they trying to get big lips?
So speak on it now. Speak on it.
Then why are they trying to be like us?
Yeah.
So if you're ugly, then I don't want to be like an ugly person. So apparently we're not uglier. Because if we were, they wouldn't want to be us.
Yeah, so, this guy, I mean, they should kick him out of the university. I mean, his credentials should be really, you know, should be summarily, you know, withdrawn. He is an idiot. I mean, we have alone on this show come up with so many contradictory ideas that will conflict and totally kick his supposed empirical data out the window. I mean, this stuff is like Archie Bunker. You can flush this stuff down the toilet. He ain't got he ain't got a leg to stand up on. This guy's not even in the ballpark. As Richard Pryor used to say, he ain't even in the vicinity. Everybody's trying to be like us. They want to be hip. They want to have the lips. They want to have the rhythm. They want to have the tan. They want to have the hair. They sure want that booty. I mean, there's power in that booty now. We remember that. It's power. And black women, they yield that power and they wield it. And it's very attractive. Even, you know, I hate to say it, I know some white guys that are kind of into the thickness, you know. I mean, what I'm saying is that this guy really, I mean, his Dr. Satoshi, I mean, you know, you need to check out some, you need to go eat a bowl of gumbo, man. You know, you need some pig feet in your life because something ain't right with this picture. I mean, your study is a farce, and that's why it had a very short shelf life on the internet. She didn't know what I'm saying. Again, guys, if you want to chime in, you're at the KKMT Radio Network with the Dr. Rock. I would definitely bless that you came into Introspect and you decided to come and take the journey with us. Introspect is about looking inside. That's what we're talking about. Look at that person in the mirror when you pass by. Take some time to make that person the best person you can make that person, because that's how you're going to attract your mate, and that's how you're going to probably be happy, fulfilled, and find your purpose on this planet. But we're talking about black women ugly. If you want to chime in, ask a question or make a comment, all you got to do is hit the number one. Hit the number one, uno, on your dial, and we'll bring you in so you can, you know, we want to see what you got to say about it. Because as far as we're concerned and my callers, I want them to know, because I guarantee you guys tomorrow we're going to have 400 hits on this thing. I guarantee you, because it's provocative and it's very, you know, this subject is kind of, it's kind of touchy. Again, it has that taint of racism in it that, again, reflects back to the bell curve and other things like that. Even back to Dr. Schilling, I think, was it Schilling or Skilling? You know, the guy back in the 60s that came up with the same mentality that blacks are, you know, intelligently or psychologically inferior. And, of course, we know that that ain't the case. We would just, you know, you just got to be down with OPP when you're in America. So there ain't no opportunities out there, then you got to get creative. And again, Dr. Rock wants to inflect on people that, you know, the ultimate American dream is not buying a home. It is capitalistic entrepreneurship, straight up. If you want to be a six-figure nigga, you got to do it for yourself. You ain't going to get it on the plantation. Master Gilmore ain't going to break you off six figures. But you can go out there and make it happen for yourself, and that's what we're about. So if you want to chime in, all you got to do is hit the number one, and we're going to keep on going on with this thing. I got another one for you guys. Now, again, did anybody out there see that Super Bowl commercial where, you know, the sister hit the white lady in the head with a can? Because, see, that was, like, really chimed in. Also, we're not going to do a Friday show, but there was a dating viral website or a viral video about what black women wanted in a man. And, you know, they wanted a man who loves his mother, six figures, a man who, like she says, her money is her money and his money is her money too. You know. But are sisters, like, asking for too much? I mean, are sisters realistic? I mean, you know, I mean, they say that if they marry a brother who is flipping hamburgers and they're making six figures, they're marrying down. Black men have did that since the beginning of time, when sisters had nothing. Taking them and putting them in the suburbs, in a house in the suburbs, in a Volvo station wagon, giving them a credit card. So we just want to hope that sisters can return the favor. Dr. Rock loves the sister. I want you guys to know that. Dr. Rock loves that caramel-complected sister with those pronounced lips and that little squeaky voice. You know what I'm saying? Because I know she's out there. She's nurturing, loving. You know, she's growing her own herbs. You know, that's what I'm talking about. There are some beautiful black women out there that are nurturing their families, that are giving. And believe me, you know, have probably, as we used to say, breastfed, you know, the world, Master Gilmore's son, grandson, breastfed him and brought him up to be who he is today. Ask Cecil Rhodes. Come on, guys. We got to be real about this. So now, ask you guys this. What should we do about this, Dr. Satoshi guy? can we, like, do something about this cat? Can we be proactive, or are we going to be reactive, or can we react, or are we just going to sit back and marinate?
Well, see, that, and that's a really difficult thing to take on because it should be that we shouldn't have to do anything. The history should reflect, but that's the problem. People don't know history, or they deny history. For example, I'm talking a couple of names out there. I'm talking a couple of female names out there. Kim Kardashian and Jennifer Lopez. Now, the first thing that people think of when they think about these women are their behinds. They're usually lauded and applauded for having the gorgeous backside, you know, this side of the Mississippi River.
Touché.
All those kinds of things. But here's the kick, though. See, they have, other than their backsides, they have very much so European features, that fair skin and that long, straight hair. I mean, Jennifer Lopez, she doesn't even, when she was a fly girl, you could tell, she was, you know, Puerto Rican mommy. You can tell that off the bat, but she doesn't even look Latina anymore. And Kim Kardashian, I mean, she's of European descent. So our black women are the most dissected, even a gender within a race. They're probably most dissected, and I mean that literally and figuratively. Like we talked about, you know, at the end before with the Hottentot Venus, Sarah Bartman, the most dissected person probably in the history of the world.
We're talking about stereotypogea.
Pick and choose parts of it that are supposedly acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why? Because you know what? She's the mother of what? Humanity? Black woman is the mother of humanity. Through her loins, you know, all cultures came through her loins.
That's
through
right.
her JJ, all cultures came onto this planet. And we don't want to give her props. We're going to let this guy, au contraire, mon frere, there is something we can do with it. Technology, tech and knowledge, put it together. We can email this school. You can find this guy on the internet. We can find this school. We can blow up their email address. We can blow it the frick up. Sisters, you know, don't sit back and take this stuff. Straight up. Somebody got to do something. I know what Sister Ada Edwards always says. You know, everybody can't do everything, but if everybody does something, I damn sure everything gonna get done. And this is the time to do something. I ain't saying be mad, be logical, be forthright, you know, but do something about this. This guy has to be checked. You know, he is spilling spewing this evil over the internet. He's spewing this evil in these type of studies. And you know who gave him the power? The media. The same media that gave him the power is the same media you need to use to bring him to his knees. You know, say, if you're right, you're right. If you're down, you know, you better have a day job because you're about to get cut off at the knees. And this guy needs to be decapitated straight from the knees down. Ladies, it's up to you guys. Dr. Rock is down with it. If you guys want to do some type of an email mailing blast on this guy, I'm down with it because I'm not going to let, again, and sisters, we talked about this, I think, last Tuesday. Black men, 60% of black men are in the penal system some kind of way, on paper, parole, probation. We would not allow a culture, a social order to do you guys like that. We need you guys to stand up for us as we would stand up for you guys. We would stand up. You know, I mean, people talk about the Panther Party and, you know, the way it was decimated and infiltrated. The Panther Party, when it started off, was nothing more than a social services organization. About what? Cultural knowledge, Operation Breadbasket and Meals on Wheels. They implemented those things. Social services departments all over the world now are still trying to implement those things and emulate those things. Yeah. And they didn't take up arms until, you know, if my grandmother said, hey, y'all go to the market and get me some eggs and a loaf of bread, and we walking down the street, they got brothers laying against the wall, and the, again, you know, Watson, the LAPD is just crooked. You know, they're just straight crooked. But nevertheless, they got the brother up against the wall, searching him, frisking him. Now, that's all right. Brothers just laugh that off. But you can't put my woman up against the wall and frisk her. Like my boy said, Huey P., he said, is that shotgun loaded? He said, nah, it is. That's my woman. I got to – did you guys see this movie called Crash? Did anybody out there see Crash?
Yeah.
There was a very unique scene in that movie when a boy who I think is the next Denzel Washington. I'm going to think of his name. He's really nice.
Oh, yeah. Terrence Howard. Yeah, what she said.
Yeah, Howard, yeah. And what was the lady's name? She's supposed to be an African princess.
Yeah, Thandie Newton.
He's that's correct.
Her dad was an African guy, and her mom's was, I think, British. But anyway, they were headed back home, and they were in an Escalade, and he's a big-time movie producer. And then he got a little sexy wife, and she was, let's just say, performing fellatio on him while he was cruising. The police stopped him. And the police at the time, this guy had, he had had a bad day. He wasn't getting the answers he wanted to help his father who had a serious bladder infection or prostate cancer, whatever. So he decided he was going to take it out on this couple. Now, in the process, he put both of them against the car, and he had the black man standing there while he literally searched this woman and inserted his finger inside this man's wife. Now, when she got home, believe me, she was livid because she felt like her man should have protected her. What does a black man do in a situation like that? 837-357. Tina P., break it down to me. What you want me to do?
She has to understand. Horrible. That's just like, it's not acceptable, but it's where you are. You know, but you kind of have to, like, you know what field or what court you're on. You know what I'm saying? So,
straight up.
I mean, she apologized, and the way he got angry too for a reason, but for the same reason that I'm saying is that she got to kind of understand where we are. And if he did do something, they'd probably both be, you know, arrested right now, or taken off somewhere, or shot up, or something.
Touché.
So, in a way, you kind of have to be a little bit stronger than that. I understand that it was bad. Like, I mean, but you know, she got over. She's gonna get over it. But I'm not, you know, brushing under the rug or anything like that. But I'm saying, you got to be realistic about things. And I think that he handled it the best way that he could. I mean, come on now. And in other circumstances, of course, he'd protect her. He'd protect any other problem, she wouldn't be with him. So,
exactly.
You know,
you got to choose your battles wisely.
Yes.
Exactly. Like you were saying, they had guns. We didn't.
Exactly.
Their guns were cool.
They also had teams. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it could have got
brown skin and nothing, so you know that's not even right there.
Yeah, and toward the end of the movie, Howard became very angry about that because he didn't protect his woman. You understand what I'm saying? Because believe me, we want to be Superman for you guys.
Yeah.
We want you to know that I'm willing to walk through a wall for you, baby. Swim miles in a flood to make sure you don't drown.
Of course.
You understand? But I need you on my side. Go ahead.
What about slavery? What about slavery times? I mean, the wives had to go. I mean, they had so many kids by now, so it wasn't even funny. But yet,
Boucher.
She still had a husband, okay? Like, he still had to, you know, like, take it or whatever. I mean, she's having families, other families, and he could do nothing about that. So, I mean, this is light compared to what that is, you know. So.
Yeah,
and
it's
that was
like Thomas Jefferson, Professor K.
Yes.
And Thomas Jefferson's the Negress slave that he had over in France. I'm going to think of her name when I'm not thinking about it. She was on her ancestor on Oprah.
Sally Hemings.
Sally Hemings, exactly. The Hemings side of the family looked more like Thomas Jefferson than the Monticello side. They had his features. Yeah, they were bright-skinned, but they had his features more so than his original children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Sally Hennes, I think, had like 6 kids for him. She was a slave. He moved her to France, kept her there, and lived with her and produced 6 children with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, Mr. Satoshi, Dr. Satoshi, Satoshi Chicken Soup, whatever your name is, you ain't even in the ballpark, partner. There's something about black women that everybody likes. There's something about them, and I still say this today, there's nothing more beautiful or exotic than a black woman on this planet. She's got all the flavor. She's got it all. So, you know, I mean, this guy, like I said, we can either check him or we can just flambé. We flambé him right now. I think he's been flipped a couple of times on this show, and I hope it goes on and on until the break of dawn, because he deserves it. I mean, if you come out with some empirical data, if you come out with some facts and not some fiction, then we'll help you. We'll support it. We got to admit it. We got to own up to it. you know. But this type of malarkey, I mean, it's ludicrous. I mean, Mike Tyson, this is simply ludicrous. This boy's like, yeah, he need to take his medication. This ain't gonna work for me. This is not gonna work for me. Empirical data. That's what science is about. Not about your opinion. Opinions like assholes. Everybody got one. You know, we need some data that you can back up. And I'd like for him to back this data up. The doctor would be more than willing to intellectually joust with the man on the subject.
That's what I'm saying. He can't. He's using things such as the BMI, you know, body mass index. That has been for many years it's been debunked as an overall barometer for people's health and people's weight.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
my BMI. I mean, I'm over 6 feet tall, 200 pounds. I mean, I'm not overweight in those terms, but my BMI is disastrous based on this system. I should be obese and on heart medication, according to them.
Exactly. I think he even gave the numbers. I think it was on the norm, it was like 28.5. No, it was 26.1 on average, and we were at like 28.5. We're talking about, what is that, like?
28.5,
2.4 points?
Right.
That's not a huge dichotomy. That's not a huge difference. You know, but again, sometimes, well, let me ask you guys this. Why do you think he did this study? As a journalist, I've been taught to ask the question why. Why do you guys think this study, all of a sudden, he just decided to do this research and air it on the internet in Psychology Today? And if you got a subscription, you know what I'm saying.
I definitely think I know why. I think there's two parts to it.
Yeah, but I mean, if this guy, why did he do this? Why do you think he did it, Petals?
It's to knock blacks back down to a level that they can be controlled. Obama's not being—he's not getting anything negative anymore. It's more so positive. Where they've been ripping him to shreds all this time, but you know, after the whole Obama thing, he's been praised.
Yeah.
Also, if you watch commercials, they steal everything. Every piece of hip hop, anything. Cause I remember back when hip hop was trash. It was garbage. It was gutter music. It was, you know, thugged out, whatever, you know. But now they use it for mini bands. They say it's swagger now. They're saying everything. They don't want to give us credit, but they want to use it all. You know what I'm saying? They just say that it's all nothing and it's all American. No, it's not. We're not American when it comes to, you know, being in front of a judge or whatever, or getting stopped in the street. We're not just Americans. You understand what I'm saying? It's split then. When it benefits you, then, you know, then you want to have that.
Check this. Dr. Rock is a marketeer. You can't watch a Massengill commercial these days without some fat beats behind it. Straight up. That's
me.
You know, I mean, a baby commercial, and they got the human beatbox. Come on, now.
That's what I'm saying. They even have artistic commercials, everything. People need to wake up and see that. The thing is, hip-hop is still the number one form of music, and also the number one form of influence, period. Clothes, relationships, everything. I guarantee you, Love and Hip Hop is one of the main watch shows. Basketball watch. All that has to do with hip hop. Every bit of it. MCs as basketball players. So what it is they want to try to put you back. You know, don't you get too big for your britches. You know, you little black girl, don't you be proud of yourself now. Even though you see your images on TV more and more, or whatever. But if you start liking yourself now, that's what they want. But people need to laugh him off. I mean, do something about it physically, but laugh him off too, or whatever. Say, we got this. We know that you're just inferior. That's what it is.
And we're going to be talking about that Friday, the difference between rap and hip-hop. Hip-hop is a culture. Go ahead.
Could it be possible? Now, I'm just throwing out a question. I know you asked the question. I'm throwing out a question. Could it be possible that the reason he's saying black women are uglier is because really he's attracted to black women, but he couldn't stand a chance with them? Maybe he was attracted.
Oh, we know that he's attracted to black women. I'm going to tell you guys what it's all about.
Yeah, that's his problem.
Say again?
I think that's his problem.
Well, no. I mean, we know that's I'm sure he's attracted. I mean, I don't think there are too many men out there that would not take the opportunity to be with a black woman. Again, there's something exotic and unique about her. But the key is that it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny in the land of milk and honey. And you got to keep that sleeping giant. You got to keep that sleeping giant down. That's why they keep beating us down, guys. They know that once they awake that sleeping giant, and we stand
it's
up,
a wrap.
And it's a wrap. It's a done deal. We're gonna demand ours. And ain't nothing going to stop us. And we're going to flip the script. We're going to change. We're not going to try to enslave and kill nobody, but I guarantee you, we're going to turn this thing around in a God, in a big type of God way. It's enough for everybody. It is enough on this for every freaking body. Nobody has to have more than, why should one man have 50 billion, is it? I think, Mr. Gates, 50 billion, and another man have no dollars in America.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe the hype. America ain't all it seems to be. You bring your ass over here if you want to, thinking you're going to be living in the land of opulence, and you'll be up under that bridge.
Yes,
straight up. Sending our jobs overseas. You know, Dell Computers, they went over, just went over to Mexico recently. I ain't talking about Mr. Dell, but you know what? I ain't got one of them in my house either. You know, straight up. I drive a Chevy and a Chrysler. I try to buy America to support Americans because I'm an American. At least I'm an African in America. So while I'm over here, I'm going to try to do the right thing. 713-829, you want to chime in? Are black women uglier, nastier, louder? I just want to know. 713-829, you got your hand up. Did you want to chime in?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, there you go. I got you. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm just beautiful. Do you think black women are uglier?
Of course not.
Okay.
Black women are the foundation of this planet. That's the first thing. Secondly, and this is, you know, completely my opinion, or actually it's not even opinion. It can be, you know, it can be fact. Definitely is fact. If you go and look it up, you'll find out. But everybody knows that the source of our culture are black women. So if you attack the black woman and you actually get her to believe in, as you would call it, the malarkey that's being put out, then you got the rest of the culture. You have our children, you have our men as well. All you have to do is take our women.
Well, they already got our men. They already got them incarcerated. So now they're coming after you. Yeah, that's true.
That's true. They're coming after the women. But all they have to do is start with, the woman is where it all starts.
Yeah.
Where it began and where it's going to end. So in order to even get our men back, we're going to have to make some changes as well, you know, and I understand that as a black female. However, as far as this gentleman writing this article, I mean, I think it's an attempt to attack the black female, and obviously the media and the hype and everything that's going on right now in media, if you get people to feed into that, everybody jump on the bandwagon and tear our black women down, and they actually start to believe that, especially with the images that I put out there, now they're on to something at that point. So I do think,
boom, shack,
you know,
black, black, boom.
Exactly.
Preach on it, sister. I mean, for real. It's called divide and conquer, guys.
Yes, exactly.
They're coming after you, sisters. I know y'all been taking care of for a minute, this ERA thing that took care of you guys. See, now,
because
you're getting up in corporate America, too. You see, you're climbing that corporate ladder, and they're going to come after you. You know? I mean, don't nobody look better in a Donna Karen suit than a sister. I'm just going to be real with you. You know? I think they had to remake cheek jeans for you guys or something. What was that, those jeans that they made for white girls? The sister was like, blowing them up.
Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh, she got mad when she made her jeans, and her sister put her gluteus maximus in them jeans. She said, my jeans were supposed to look like that.
Yeah,
this made an image of her. They made it like her, which is nothing.
It's all about image. Yeah, and sisters made them look better. If you're talking about hourglass, if you're talking about a Coke bottle, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, like the man said, a dog don't even want a bone. I'm going to throw that back. Can you put some meat on this? But anyway, hey, look at guys. I mean, what are we going to do about this guy? Can we do something to Mr. Can we talk to Dr. Satoshi? Can we, like, hey, Doc, we'd like to parlay with you. Dr. Rock is more than willing, again, to intellectually joust with the brother. You know, my credentials are in fact, I'll bring 954-744 with me. She credentialed up. Because my credentials are world, you know, just pretty worldly. But her credentials are legitimate in the eyes of the American system of government. And, you know, she did all the good stuff and went to school and all that. Dr. Rock was living with the cultures that they were reading about. So Dr. Satoshi, This is the Dr. Rock and his crew, because I think all the sisters on here got my back. If you want to go one-on-one, we're willing to debate this with you. And I guarantee you, we'll help you figure this thing out. Black women are the most beautiful and most powerful women on this planet. But they got to connect with the black man again, because that's the way God planned. And ain't nobody on this land got a better plan than the God that put all this thing into motion. Nobody. We can't keep following this culture off the end of the cliff, guys. We know what we're supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to support you, and you're supposed to support me. And when two become one, we about to blow up Shuwait up in this mug. And you know we're going to win, but we got to stick together. Once they divide us, it's a done deal. Hey, look here, guys, 718-508-908. Chime in next Friday, 7 o'clock, same bat time. We're going to have Iron Petals. We're going to talk about the difference between hip-hop and rap. Iron Petals is going to be bringing that. She's going to be bringing all of that funk. She's going to be bringing it hard and soft. Be there or be square. And Dr. Rock just got love.
Okay, good job.
Come.
take the journey.